If I were the devil, first thing that I'd do is I'd come off like I ever gave a damn about you. I'd let you catch a peek of all your greatest desires, then I'd watch the flames in your eyes burn like hellfire. Find all the wolves in the land, and I'd make them fight each other tooth and nail and hand to hand. Find all the sheep, make them stir up the pot, 'cause once the wolves have killed each other, sheep are what I want. The devil walks among us, friends, I know this is true, and I don't know if he's red, and I don't know if he's blue. One thing that I know, need to take a look around. If I were the devil, this world wouldn't be my playground.
Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, November 8th, 2023, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild and dystopic ride it is. To be sure, there are a lot of things that we could talk about, a lot of issues. For example, we could talk about politics and elections. However, as the old cliche goes, culture leads politics and religion leads culture. So what does that mean? And what does that portend? So we have a clip that I want to begin today's broadcast with. It's an extended clip. We'll have to break it over a couple of breaks probably, but it's important. And it is what's going on in a nutshell. It's what's happening and also what to do about it. And so we're going to start with that. This is from the Probably Alexandria YouTube channel. It's on YouTube, and the video is titled Spiritual Warfare, A Real Battle. This was released just yesterday. So, Spiritual Warfare, A Real Battle. Can we start that, please?
Have you ever wondered about the spiritual realm, the unseen world that exists alongside our everyday lives? Hi, I'm Alexandra, and welcome back to my channel. Please subscribe and hit the bell to never miss a video. Today's video is based on my Substack article of the same title. You can find links to it below. Today we're going to be delving into spiritual warfare, a real battle for your mind, heart, and soul. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. Behind the scenes of this spiritual warfare is Lucifer and his army of demons, principalities, and fallen angels. These evil spirits are cunning and deceptive, seeking to lead people away from God. This is a battle for the soul of those who do not know Christ, as well as the testimonies of those who do. They use various tactics to achieve their goals, including temptation, lies, and manipulation. Now, this struggle is not just a metaphor, it's a real and dangerous reality. Before we get started, I want to note that spiritual discernment is necessary to determine whether an individual is experiencing demonic oppression, a mental health issue, or simply the stresses of life. It is important to rule out any underlying medical conditions that may be causing the symptoms. Let's talk about how the enemy operates. The spiritual realm is not a myth, a movie trope, or a fairy tale. It's a real and dangerous place. Behind the scenes, demonic activity is rampant, seeking to deceive and destroy and lead souls astray. The Word of God tells us many important things about spiritual warfare, and these two verses highlight the nature of this war. The first is Revelation 12:9, which tells us the devil deceives the entire world. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And 2 Corinthians 11:14 tells us the devil disguises himself as something he is not, an angel of light. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Demons are described as evil spirits in Matthew 10:1, unclean spirits in Mark 1:27, lying spirits in 1 Kings 22:23, angels of Satan in Revelation 12:9. Now let's talk about some doorways to the dark realm. Many individuals unknowingly open doors to this dark realm through various practices such as divination, magic, seeking guidance from mediums, astrology, Ouija boards, tarot cards, which are sold in literally grocery stores these days, yoga, which some churches even promote, and New Age spirituality such as Buddhism and Hinduism. This is not an exhaustive list, and what if I told you these are actually not the most common ways to open portals to demonic activity? Most people are affected by poor decisions that have consequences in the spirit realm. It would be easy to avoid falling victim to Lucifer's schemes if overtly New Age or overtly evil-looking things were Lucifer's only weapons. Avoid attempting to awaken the Kundalini through rituals and chants. Don't go to the Church of Satan and you're good, right? I wish it was that simple. It would be easy if Lucifer portrayed himself truthfully, but that's not how the Bible describes the enemy. He is cunning, sly, seeks and stalks his prey, takes any small opening, and works patiently to lead people astray. Does that sound like the enemy holds a neon sign like Beetlejuice inviting you to join him in hell? Who would fall for that anyway? Do not underestimate how much Lucifer hates God and wants to hurt him by hurting God's creation. His pride was his downfall because he wanted to be like the Most High. He believed he could be God, and that's the lie in all world religions that don't follow Jesus alone. That somehow, something, or someone else can save you, and essentially that you can be your own God. What that means is that you end up worshiping yourself. Now consider some of the subtle ways Lucifer influences humanity. Godless curriculums taught in schools and universities, distorting the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman, gender confusion, instilling fear and division through fabricated news stories, degrading, harmful, or occult messages delivered in the form of popular entertainment like music videos, movies, social media, amongst other things. Lucifer is not only present in what appears to be overtly evil, he doesn't live in a spirit Halloween store. He comes disguised, like it says in 2 Corinthians 11:14. How about a joke? Knock, knock. Who's there? Anger, lust, pride, putting your own priorities before seeking God, gossip, criticism, and mindlessly consuming entertainment or social media, amongst other things. Not very funny, huh? Of course not, because at some point, most of us are guilty of many of these things, and the uneasiness we feel is called conviction. Well, those things are a few of the ways portals can actually be opened. Isn't it great that the Bible tells us to put on the full armor of God? Armor is used for battle. When you don't have your armor on, you're vulnerable to attack. So make sure to keep up your spiritual armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10-17 tells us to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the enemy's schemes. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The verses are a metaphor for how spiritual soldiers should prepare for battle. We are in a battle for our souls daily. Prepare accordingly. By putting on this armor, we can resist the enemy and stand firm in our faith. Guarding our hearts from a scriptural perspective means for us to be alert through the power of Christ within us to what enters and lives in our hearts. We need to be aware of what we say and do because over time, our thoughts and our actions shape who we are. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. To me, it's why Jesus gave the explanation that anger is equated to murder and lust is equated to adultery in the Sermon on the Mount, because Like a marble at the top of a hill, one single thought can cascade an entire chain of events that leads to not only our own destruction, but harms the people we love and ultimately dishonors the one who created us. A passage commonly glossed over for obvious reasons, it would make a lot of people uncomfortable for sure, is in Matthew 10:34-39, when Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." He's just told us that obeying him is a difficult decision, but he is our Heavenly Father, and he gave us our earthly parents and families, so we should treat him as the priority and primary relationship we go to before any humans. However, amidst the division living for Jesus causes between families, we can never lose sight of the fact that we are ambassadors for his kingdom, and our example may be the only way to ever reach the non-believers around us. Jesus also tells us that the cost of following him is high, especially when a family does not share the same beliefs. The reason this may be the case is that Jesus is different from any other world religion or philosophy or supposed God, because he demands a sacrifice, that we put down our old life, repent of our sins, and put our full faith in him. That's repentance, right? To make a U-turn in our lives and make the decision to drive in the other direction. It requires humbling yourself before God and turning from your sinful ways. Repentance is a word a lot of us have heard, but what does it look like in practice? Well, it's not an apology. It is so much more. An apology is more like, "Sorry I hurt your feelings," or "Sorry I got caught, but if I knew I could get away with it, I'd probably do it again." And so the cycle continues. My friends, that is not it. True repentance means to acknowledge that your way is wrong and that God's way is right. You thought you could navigate alone, but you admit you got lost and need a guide to free you from the mess you've gotten yourself into. Step 1. Identify your need for a savior. This means admitting that you cannot save yourself. You can't overcome your issues alone. Maybe you've tried and consistently fail. Well, you can be free from that failure when you recognize that you need Jesus to guide you. Only he is able to free you and free you completely. The second step is to call out sin. You must be able to name and confront your sin and recognize why it's wrong and harmful. I challenge you to make a list in your head, or write it down, a list of all the things sin in your life has stolen from you. Time, relationships, peace of mind, financial stability, self-worth, just to name a few. Get as specific in your heart as you can. Why? Because no one needs a savior if they don't think they're in peril. Being fully aware of the darkest parts of you helps you experience the true power of God's grace, and you'll realize anything God asks you to put down, he has something so much better planned for you to pick up. Check out Proverbs 28:13 and Acts 3:19 for more. Grieving. Grief over your sin is the third step. This is the point where you feel broken and overcome with sorrow for your sins and realize just how much it's taken from you, where you're hurt that you've hurt God. Allow yourself to feel the weight of your sin, like the pain Jesus felt on the cross, where he was blameless and sinless. Yet he bore the sins of you, me, and everyone else so that we could be free from the bondage of sin. This grief allows you to run from your sin to the mercy of God. What Jesus did was that he pled guilty to crimes he never committed so that we, the ones who are to blame, could legally be set free by God, the judge. There is a price to pay for sin. Jesus paid the ultimate price by exchanging his life so that through him we could live. The word repentance comes from the Latin re, which means again, and penitentia, which means penance. Pain and sorrow is the root of the word penance. So the word repentance itself carries the meaning of feeling pain and sorrow over one's decisions and actions. This grief leads to gratitude. Step 4 is to turn from sin. You've heard Jesus say, "Now go and sin no more." When you're free from the chains of sin and your heart is made new, you are forgiven and filled with gratitude because you can see what God saved you from. The Greek word metanoia means a transformative change of heart or a spiritual conversion. Remember, something unexplainable happens when you gain the Holy Spirit. God does a great work in the heart of the believer, and it has nothing to do with willpower. It is all God's power. Metanoia comes from meta, which means after or change. The word metanoia implies a change of mind or of direction. Jesus shows us to turn away from sin and towards his healing. As we build our faith, we should regularly audit our lives and see if there are things we need a change of direction from. Jesus knows the road we were on led to destruction, and when he turns us around, it's metanoia. The same way that when you're driving and realize that you're going the wrong direction, you turn around. Turning from sin entails a change of habits that have led us to sin in the first place. Set yourself up for success and remove anything that tempts you to sin. You also must work on yourself and build your resilience, celebrating the small victories you achieve now with the power of Jesus in you. So close the doors to the things that lead you down the wrong path. Only you and Jesus know what those are. But if they're coming to your mind right now, I encourage you to take action. No excuses. I know it's hard to give up things we enjoy, but you can't drive in two directions at the same time. Jesus turned you around for a reason. He died to set you free from those things. And finally, remember that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. This means that true repentance bears good fruit, which is a true change of heart and mind, and the genuine decision to give your life to God and trust Him. We cannot keep on living the same way we did before. Don't conform to the worldly ways of living, but instead change your way of thinking to line up with God's will. A true conversion formula looks like, my life before Jesus was XYZ. Then he came into my life, and my life has been permanently changed ever since. We know that sin leads to death, and Jesus saves us from sin. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And I thank God for every single one of you watching this video who had him intervene in your path and show you a better way. As our old life fades in the rearview mirror, we will be drawn to those familiar comforts, but I encourage you to remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. The word for salvation comes from the Latin salvare, or to save. This is also the root of where we get the word salvage. What does it mean when you salvage something? You rescue or you save something destined for destruction. God did not design us to live in fear, shame, guilt, worry, or captivity. No, he came to set the captives free, to give us the truth, and his truth is what sets us free. His blood destroys the chains of sin over our lives, and his love propels us to strive to make him proud in our thoughts and actions, not only as the loving father he is, but also out of reverence for him as the righteous judge of the world. Jesus continues in verse 38, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. I find it very interesting that he uses the imagery of the cross when he had not yet been crucified. It was an excruciating way to die, and he's asking those who choose to follow him to deny themselves every single day. To deny the flesh is to live by the Spirit. In a very blunt way of saying this, to live in the flesh is to choose that which leads to death. To live according to the Spirit is to choose that which leads to life. No one can be both alive and dead at the same time. Jesus says, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Verse 39 is actually one of great encouragement. It invites us to get our priorities in order and focus on that which counts for eternity, not momentarily. It's a choice between wanting to keep one's old life and old ways or the opportunity of new, eternal life. I want to encourage you to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not earth, like it says in Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. As we all know, idolatry is not finding your nearest golden calf and bowing down to it. Modern-day idolatry takes many subtle forms. Anything that we come to rely on for fulfillment, happiness, help, or guidance, in the place of wholeheartedly seeking the true and living God first, can become idolatry. Idolatry can be much more than you may think. Examples include unhealthy obsessions with politics, money, sports, news, entertainers, and social media usage. Even addictions, obsessive behaviors, excessive worry, and thoughts that seem to oppress us and take up all of our mental energy. These can all be harmful. These activities may seem harmless, but they can give evil forces a foothold in your life. The things you think about or know more about than God can become idols. What do all of these things have in common? They can lead to sin. We open doors to the dark realm through sinning. Sin is any action or thought that goes against God's will. When we sin, we give Lucifer and his demons a legal right to operate in our lives. It's consent. The enemy is patient, waiting for any opportunity, and will take any small opening to attack. Consider the bread and circus of the Romans. Entertainment is a medium used to manipulate the mind and accept ideas contrary to that which is acceptable and right in God's eyes. That's not to say everything is evil, but it means you need to be on guard and consume content very carefully and deliberately. Look, visualize it this way. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit changes you, and you have a new heart with new desires. It's like if our bodies were the inside of someone's house who suffers with hoarding. The Holy Spirit comes in and cleans it and makes it look brand new. Now, it's our job to be diligent and careful with everything we add back into our homes, to our bodies, which are the temple of the living God. Now let's get into the nature of spiritual warfare. Colossians 3, verse 2 through 3 tells us, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden or buried with Christ in God." Why? Because verse 3 reminds us that our old selves have died, and all of our sins have been washed away and forgiven, and we have been set free to new life through Jesus Christ. How great is that? When we are set apart and our minds no longer see the world as we did before Jesus rescued us, we can focus our eyes on the things that matter, things that build us up, encourage, and give us hope, and are good for us and those around us. The word sin comes from the Hebrew word kata and the Greek word hamartia. These words are not linked exclusively to religious ideas. They are simple words that explain the human condition. Kata simply means to fail or miss the mark. Hamartia has a similar meaning. It means a fatal flaw that leads to a downfall. According to the Bible, sin is to transgress or break the law of God. The Ten Commandments and Jesus' explanations in the Sermon on the Mount, as well as other scriptures, show us how not to sin or fail God and fellow humans. Sin isn't just about failing in action. It's also about deceiving ourselves to believe our bad choices are not harmful. Sin doesn't just hurt ourselves. It also hurts others, and most importantly, damages our relationship with God. The enemy stops at nothing to carefully lure us away from the path God has for us and lead us away from our intended purpose. Lucifer does not force us to sin. He presents opportunities, and we either accept or reject those temptations. So the sooner that you learn to recognize the root cause of the sin, the odds are better the bad fruit won't be produced. Whatever you feed gets stronger. If you feed sin, you starve the Holy Spirit. But if you feed the Spirit, you starve sin. This takes self-control, self-discipline, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps you in this process of spiritual growth, and that growth is continual. He took an unyielding stance on how we are to respond to sin, especially saying in Matthew 5:30, "And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away." It's a metaphor to get rid of the source of anything that leads to constant sinning. Cutting off your right hand is better than letting the sin take action in your life. Eliminate the things causing you to sin, no matter what they are. This is how serious Jesus is about how much sin hurts us and how seriously we should take it. It's important that Jesus holds the sinner accountable in the passage from Matthew, as opposed to condemning the thing that caused them to sin. While he is not calling us to harm ourselves, he does hold us accountable for our own actions and thoughts, not other people or things, but our reactions and responses to them. He freed us from sin through his death and resurrection, so we must not return to the same chains that he freed us from. You cannot defeat sin without Jesus. Spiritual warfare is a battle for control over the souls of people. God seeks to draw individuals closer to him, and Lucifer attempts to prevent them from knowing or trusting God. This conflict is not limited to external forces. It also involves internal struggles, such as temptations, negative thoughts, that can lead individuals away from the path of righteousness. The enemy wants the trap to remain hidden, so we will be unaware of the danger we're heading toward. And even more importantly, he wants us to remain unaware of the very fact that we have been trapped, therefore keeping us from even attempting to free ourselves from the trap at all. The enemy's overall motivation is worship. He wanted to be like God and be worshipped as if he were God. To usurp that place in the hearts of humanity is his ultimate goal. The enemy and his demons can be powerful spirits, but they are not omnipresent, omniscient, or omnipotent. Let's talk about the impact of demonic activity in daily life. Have you been experiencing overwhelming and unexplainable anxiety, obsessive thoughts, or a never-ending feeling of darkness or hopelessness, spiritual confusion, lack of motivation? They could be signs of a spiritual attack. So what can we do to protect ourselves? The very first and most important step is that you must be born again. Okay, Alexandra, well, how? Well, it all starts with your response to the message of the gospel. What is that message? Simply put, it's that Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again, and was seen by others before ascending to heaven, but not before he promised to return for his children. Once you grasp that truth, you'll realize just how loved you are by God. And once you realize that, you'll want to love him back. Jesus Christ came to this world with the purpose of saving us from ourselves, redeeming us from our sins, and offering us a path to eternal life through his sacrificial death and triumphant resurrection. By defeating death, he offers the gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sins to all who follow him. We are saved through our faith in Jesus, not by our own works or actions. We are all sinners in need of a Savior, and Jesus freely extends his offer of salvation to all of us. Then, you must recognize your need for salvation. To enter into a relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you must believe in Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. This means accepting that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Which leads us to repentance. To be born again, you must repent of your sins and turn to Christ for salvation. This means acknowledging that you have rebelled against God, asking for forgiveness, and turning from your old ways. You accept Jesus' death as your own, and now it's not you who lives, but he who lives in you. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The next step is a genuine confession of faith. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Being born again signifies a transformation in one's inner self, where a person's heart and spirit are renewed by the Holy Spirit, or born again. It represents a turning away from a life of sin and a turning toward God.
All right, we're going to have to come back to that. Stick around. I'll be right back after this short break.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, no.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act, the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, November 8th, 2023. And we have been listening for the first half of the first hour of today's broadcast to a video titled Spiritual Warfare, A Real Battle. And we're going to finish that video here in a minute. We have just under, what do we have? About 10 minutes left that we're going to play. This is what matters. We live in a world where we are gaslighted to believe that the truth is either imaginary or non-existent, usually non-existent, the whole truth. Nope, not here. And the myths and the lies are all there is, and the technique of infamy reigns supreme, inventing two lies and getting us all arguing heatedly over which one is true. We are awash in lies and half-truths, really. And in the midst of all of that, this spiritual warfare, a real battle, this is what matters. When you come to the end of the exploration of things, I believe that any serious and thoughtful inquiry will arrive here. It's a spiritual battle. And as I said to open today's broadcast, we could talk about many things on any given broadcast, including today. We could talk about politics. Obviously, that's in the news and on people's minds these days. But culture leads politics and religion leads culture. So here we are. And the point of that is to say there is a... It's so fascinating in the... for the laity or for the profane or the unwashed, the uninitiated, we're supposed to pretend that these concepts, you know, the idea of spiritual warfare, for example, in a realm, an unseen realm that ties into the metaphysical, these things, it's mostly superstitious. Maybe there are some connections, you know, maybe Madonna's dabbling in that in her Kabbalistic pursuits, or maybe there are some spiritual leaders, or maybe the Dalai Lama, for example. But, you know, for the rest of us, we don't need to concern ourselves with that. It's not part of my 9-to-5. But it is of interest to powerful, influential people. And, for example, you know, the Rockefellers, Rockefeller Foundation, Gates Foundation, etc., have contributed to the efforts of the Lucius Trust. Why is that? Over the years, and have been major benefactors of that organization. For what purpose? To what end? If it's not a thing, this spiritual warfare, and why would there be books published like Alice Bailey, you know, the book credited to Alice Bailey, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, or Initiation, Human and Solar, that are not actually books that she wrote? And that's just an established fact. Wikipedia even says those are books credited to her, considered to be received works. What does that mean? So any serious inquiry, I think, into what's going on, I think, ends up here. And there are forces that are largely beyond our comprehension in many cases that are at work in the lives of powerful, influential people and also in our own life. And so, without further ado, we will finish this clip titled Spiritual Warfare, A Real Battle. Go ahead, please.
Step is a genuine confession of faith. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Being born again signifies a transformation in one's inner self, where a person's heart and spirit are renewed by the Holy Spirit, or born again. It represents a turning away from a life of sin and a turning toward God and righteousness. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And then you must follow Jesus and obey his teachings. One must have a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. This means developing a direct, committed, and personal relationship with God. You are no longer on the throne of your own life, but instead, Jesus is, and you now follow him and put him first in all things. "If you love me, keep my commandments," says John 14:15. I highly recommend you to read the book of Acts as well. Then God, through the Holy Spirit, will begin to do his work in you. It's a process to become who God created you to be and to let go of all that you are not and the lies that have grafted themselves into your life. Cultivate a strong relationship with God, read the Bible, and pray for discernment. If possible, surround yourself with fellow believers who could also provide added spiritual support and encouragement on your walk. Prayer is a crucial aspect of spiritual warfare. Prayer is communication with God. Sometimes, not even through words, because God hears our hearts. Seek his guidance and ask for his protection. Through prayer, we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and have victory over Lucifer's schemes. We cannot overcome the schemes of the enemy on our own power. Willpower fails every time. The Holy Spirit gives the power to be obedient. It is not a human ability. It's a supernatural gift from God. He empowers us to discern the truth from lies, gives us the strength to resist temptation, and helps us to stay alert to the enemy's schemes. We should always seek Jesus' guidance from the Holy Spirit through God when we are facing spiritual battles. The Bible is a powerful weapon in spiritual warfare, showing us the truth that can counteract the enemy's lies and deceptions. By filling our minds with the Word of God, we can have victory over Lucifer's schemes and remain strong in our faith. It is crucial to call out demonic activity when you encounter it. Remember that as a Christian, you have been given authority over the spiritual forces of evil. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Playing with demons is no joke. You can only engage with spiritual warfare under the protection of Jesus. Sometimes people might be intrigued by the dark realm and want to interact with it. They should heed the warning of the Jewish exorcist who attempted to cast out demons without the power of Jesus. Acts 19:11-17 says, "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims.' Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?' And the man in whom was the evil spirit leapt on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled." These Jewish exorcists were using the name of Jesus like a magic spell. It meant nothing to them. They did not know Jesus in their hearts, and the demons knew that, and took advantage of them because they were spiritually unprotected. Common signs of demonic oppression can be categorized into these main areas: thoughts and emotions, actions and behaviors, and physical symptoms. When it is not possible to attribute these symptoms to medical conditions or mental health issues, and there is a strong indication from the Holy Spirit there is a spiritual attack occurring, consider the following. Signs of spiritual attacks are deliberate and assault a believer's identity in Christ. These include: 1. A loss of desire to talk to God or read Scripture. 2. Feel confusion or fear about your beliefs. 3. Doubting your own abilities or worth. 4. Doubting God's faithfulness and goodness. 5. Feeling rejected, condemned, guilty, shameful, or unworthy. 6. A sudden desire to return to old lifestyle patterns or behaviors. And 7. A loss of inner peace. Signs of demonic oppression in thoughts and emotions. 1. Persistent negative thoughts or feelings of despair, hopelessness, or worthlessness. 2. Intrusive thoughts that are contrary to one's beliefs or values. 3. Experiencing intense fear, anxiety, or panic attacks. And 4. Sudden mood swings or unexplained emotional outbursts. Signs of demonic oppression in actions and behaviors. 1. Is compulsive or addictive behaviors that are harmful or destructive. 2. Uncontrollable anger or violent tendencies. 3. Is withdrawal from social activities, relationships, or activities one enjoys. And 4. A sudden interest in or preoccupation with the occult or other dark spiritual practices. This can also include things like nihilism and solipsism or any form of defeatist ideology. And physical symptoms associated with demonic oppression. 1. Unexplained physical pain, inner agony or discomfort. 2. Sleep disturbances, such as vivid or frequent nightmares. And 3. A sudden onset of illness or health issues without a clear medical cause. Now, it is important to note that these signs and symptoms can also be indicative of other issues, such as mental health disorders or medical conditions. Therefore, it's crucial to seek professional help and guidance when experiencing these symptoms to determine the appropriate course of action. Not everything is the work of a demon, so trust in Jesus and be at peace. The enemy likes to make us feel like we're not strong enough to fight back. But demons are not more powerful than Jesus. The demons recognize and cower at his name because they know their end will be one of torment. Matthew 8:29 tells us, "And behold, they cried out, the demons, 'What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?'" Demons recognize and bow to the authority and power of Jesus Christ. This authority was also proof that he is the Son of God. The most important aspect to remember in this spiritual war is that these enemies of God have their fate determined. They have been defeated. Jesus is the victor over the enemy. Jesus came into the world as the Son of God, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, to accomplish many things, such as to be a model for us to follow, to reveal the Father, to die for the sins of the whole world, and to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus defeated the devil by destroying the power of death. The enemy's power lies in bringing death. But Jesus Christ paid a debt he did not owe for a price we could not pay to set us free from death and give us eternal life. Jesus has already won the victory over Lucifer and his demons. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil and made a way for us to be set free from the grip of the chains of sin. We can have confidence that no matter what we face in the spiritual realm, the victory is ours through Christ. So don't be afraid of the unseen realm. Instead, be aware of its reality and the dangers it poses. Stay faithful in Christ, and through him, we navigate this unseen world with confidence and victory. Thank you for watching this video. You can find more of my content on my Substack at probablyalexandra.substack.com. A link is in the description below. Take care, everyone. Bye for now.
So, that's that. That's what's going on and what to do about it. And, I mean, that's basically it. I'm sure, as I was listening to that, as we were playing it, I can feel certain folks probably yawning. Oh my goodness, this is terrible. Can we get back to something interesting? We'll probably do that in the second hour. I have another video that she did, an explainer, the theory of evolution. You know, when it comes to the theory of evolution, it basically debunks itself. I mean, the title is awful if you read the whole title, which most people don't. On the origin of species, you know, usually it's just called Origin of Species, but if you read the rest, by means of natural selection or the preservation of favored races and the struggle for life, what does that mean? Sounds patently racist and exclusionary and other fun things.
Not to mention Darwin's own writing. You know, he sort of debunked the theory himself, and there's the anthropic principle and so many other things that debunk this theory. But there's the more esoteric aspect. I think we'll maybe do a little bit of that in the second hour. But what really matters is what we just played, spiritual warfare, a real battle. And so we played that. We got that out of the way. I think that's essential listening for everyone. And as I said, in my humble estimation, I'll just put it that way, at the end of all of one's inquiry into what's really going on and who's who in the zoo and all of that, this is what matters. Spiritual warfare. The real battle. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep.
Welcome back. All right, final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, November 8th, 2023. So, the most important message that I could ever possibly give or offer on any broadcast is what you just heard, the video titled Spiritual Warfare, A Real Battle. There is a cosmic battle raging, and mostly unseen, for us anyway. We, as the cliche goes, has been stated, we are both the pawns and the prize. And isn't it ironic? I mean, it's not taught in school. You don't see it on CNN or Fox News. Wait, no, I saw an alien piece. Yeah, no, that's a different deal. That's blue beam demonic type stuff. Anyway, you don't hear about it in public schools. You don't see it on CNN, so it must not be real. And that's some of the most pervasive gaslighting ever to have occurred throughout all recorded history. It's amazing. But it's a real thing. And so what we will do, what we will choose, as Joshua said, you know, choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's just fascinating. And the more you dive down this rabbit hole, the more you see our own history in America is the reemergence of the Hellenistic impulse. It is the tip of the ancient spear. And the Illuminized influence did not pass us over or pass us by. In fact, that is a strong anchor point in the foundation of America. And is there proof? Sure. I mean, a lot of the people that we revere and respect historically in America have occult, esoteric ties. And there were a number of folks at the American Revolutionary period who had close connections, close ties to the Illuminized impulse of France, for example. So, shocking as that may be, it is what it is. But the spiritual warfare aspect is the most important issue. And what we will do, you know, what will you do with this Christ? That is, you know, that is the key question. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the most important question we can address. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.